Well, as you can see, we are recognizing Memorial Day today and tomorrow. I know that there are all throughout the country tomorrow, there will be there'll be parades, or there will be barbecues, or there will be ceremonies where there will be recognizing all of those who have served this country in armed forces. And before I get into the sermon this morning, I want to do something that it's kind of a tradition. We do this on Memorial Day and other times. Is if you have served in our military, in our armed forces, if you have given your time and your life to serving in our country, or you're a veteran, I'd like to ask you if you would please stand at this time so that we could recognize you as someone who has done that for our country. So if you are a veteran, please stand at this time. Thank you. Thank you very much. You know, the reality is that, living in this country is unlike living anywhere else in the world. And I've only lived in this country, but I can still say that with confidence, that living here is unlike living anywhere else. One of the things that we, Hayden and I talk a lot about when we're watching television is just the extreme privilege that we as Americans live with every day. I mean, we live in such, and that's really the only word I can come up with all this time as I'm thinking about it, is just, we live in extreme privilege. And it is, it's because of the sacrifice made by so many people. And one of the things that we do this time of as we remember, is we build, Memorial Day is about recognizing and remembering. And one thing that we do is we build memorials to those who have come and who have chosen to fight and lay down their lives to secure the freedom that we have, and the privilege that it is to live in this country, and the privilege that we get to live with every single day. And we build these memorials to remember those people, those men and women who, whether it was because they chose to, or they were drafted and they answered that call and they go to whatever country it is that's threatening our way of life or our freedom, and they go there and some of them, for whatever, some of them are killed and some of them aren't, and there's no rhyme or reason to who that is, and some people, struggle with that. Well, why was this guy and why not me? And then, but to honor that, we build memorials to them so we can remember them. And Memorial Day is about that. But there is a, my question this morning is, as we remember, as we build memorials, and as we remember those who have fallen for our freedom, do we build in our hearts or anywhere else a memorial to the one who has fallen to offer us or to give us the ultimate freedom? Up at Suwanee, there is a cross that is, and you can go to the next slide there. Up at Suwanee, there's a cross, there's a memorial that, whenever you see this, you think of, you think of Jesus. You think of the one who laid down his life, who wasn't drafted, who volunteered because of his love, because of who he is, because of what he needed to accomplish, because of the threat upon the way of life that God had in store. He came and he willingly laid down his life. And the war that he went to fight, it wasn't, I wonder if I'm going to get killed. It was, I'm going there, and that's the reason I'm going. And so we have memorials like this one to remember the sacrifice that was so willingly paid. And so Memorial Day is really about that. It's about remembering a sacrifice. So Memorial Day, as we remember, the first thing I just wanted to, as I came to this, and I've thought about this for weeks, because, you know, one of the things that, you know, that a lot of preachers do is they'll wake up on Monday morning and be like, I wonder what I'm going to preach about Sunday. So they'll spend all week trying to figure it out. Well, I don't do that. I think about what I'm going to preach about for the year. About November, I'll start fleshing all that out. And, you know, I put in the gimmies, you know, Easter and Christmas and you know, that sort of thing. And Memorial Day is one of those, you know, Mother's Day, Father's Day. You know, and then I kind of start putting in there what, you know, all these sermon series. And the reason I do that is so that, you know, because I can't think of something to say in a week. It takes me a lot longer than that. And as I've thought about this for the past, you know, I've known, you know, Memorial Day is coming up. And as I think about Memorial Day and remembering and erecting memorials and things to make us remember, I think about the reality that what I've learned in the last few weeks and months as I've thought about this is that remembering is not enough. I mean, Memorial Day is not just about a mental cognition of thinking, okay, I'm going to take a minute and I'm going to think about all of those men and women. And as we think about the, you know, remembering Jesus and remembering the price that was paid for our spiritual freedom, remembering, it's not enough. It's not something, you know, today or tomorrow is not a day about just a thought. There's more to it, because remembering has to lead to honoring. You know, one of the things that I think about a lot, and there's not a day that goes by that I don't. And yesterday was one of those days as I was out in our backyard and finally, you know, I got the pool all ready to go and it's all clear. You could see the bottom. I mean, you know, a couple of weeks ago it was just a moss pit, not a mosh pit, but a moss pit. And we had tadpoles in that thing. I'm not kidding. You think I'm exaggerating? We did. We had tadpoles in the pool. And I had to threaten Hyatt with a whipping not to go to Dick Fuel's pond and catch a whole mess of bluegill and bring them back and put them in the pool, because that was his plan. And then he was just going to fish in the pool. that's my boy right there, buddy. He's like, Dad, I think them bluegill would live in there. I'm like, I guarantee you they would, son. But we got it. And so, but, you know, yesterday I'm out working and Hyatt's there working with me and stuff. And I look at his legs and I'm like, son, do you have the chicken pox? And he's like, well, I don't think so. And, you know, as he's doing this and his legs, he's got on pants today, but you can ask him about his legs from about here down look like he's polka dotted from mosquito bites, ant bites, and any other kind of creepy crawly thing that's in, you know, waist deep grass that you get at the leeches at on a Wednesday night, frolicking through the hay fields and chiggers and everything else. And when you're 12, you just got to scratch that till you're bleeding. And I'm looking at it, I'm like, goodness gracious, well, okay. And that made me think about being 12 years old and over at, you know, at my granddaddy's farm growing up and just running through the fields and barefoot and just chigger bites and skeeter bites and wondering when it was the last time I had a bath. And I always tell my kids, you know, if you got to think about it that hard, you need to go on up and bathe and find your toothbrush while you're up there. But, you know, you think about in this time of year and, you know, and the kids outside and running around, it reminds me of what it was like to be a kid. Of what it was like to be that age. And I sit and I think about, and there's not a day that goes by, even when I don't see my kids with their legs all bit up, but I don't think about and remember those days growing up and all of the good and all of the bad and all of the everything that made me who I am. And I think to myself that just remembering, there's more to it. Because we have to honor that, don't we? We have to honor those memories, and it's not just thinking about it. And that's what Psalm 85 talks about as it goes through as the psalmist. And this is a psalm of remembrance. It's a psalm of thinking back as you read through it. And I really thank Denning for reading this morning. As you think back, you showed favor to your land. You restored fortunes. You forgave iniquity. Father, we think back on the time that you did that, and now we're asking you to do it again. We're honoring the memory of all that you've done and requesting that you bestow it upon us again, honoring the fact that you can and living now because of that. But not only is it remembering, but it's about honor. You get down to verse 10, and Denning only read through verse 9. Surely his salvation is near those who fear him, that his glory may dwell in their land. And then verses 10, 11, 12, and 13 are all about honor. It's not just about remembering. It's not just about thinking back on the good, thinking back on the sacrifice, thinking back on the price paid. But now going forward, love and faithfulness meet in the present together. Righteousness and peace kiss each other. Faithfulness springs forth from the earth, and righteousness looks down from heaven. The Lord will indeed give what is good, and our land will yield its harvest. Righteousness goes before him and prepares the way for his steps. You see, what this psalm of remembrance is telling us, with this psalm of remembrance, not only as we remember those who have paved the way for a lifestyle that quite honestly, we wouldn't know how to exist any other way. As we think about those who have served our country to maintain our way of life, and more importantly, as we think about our Savior who has paved the way for our freedom in a relationship with Him, we have to realize that our remembering leads to honoring, and honoring is always drenched in action. Honoring God, honoring whoever it is that we're honoring, what we're remembering, there has to be an action that goes along with it, because otherwise it's just a thought process. You see, what we do comes from what we think. You know, we have to first remember those who have gone before, remember those who have done things on our behalf, but then realize that it's uselessness that leads us to something, because what we do comes from what we think. Isn't that what Colossians chapter 3 in verse 2 says when he says, since you have been raised with Christ, since you have been seated at the right hand of God, set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. See, because what you do comes from what you think about. And what you think about is important. So don't get yourself mired down with the right now and the where you are. But think about grander things. Think about what God has done for you so that you will act like you need to. Act like who you are. If we thought long enough that we weren't free to do whatever it is that we see fit to do, how long would it be before we stopped acting like we were free to do whatever it is that we want to do? Think about life this. In Christ, we are free to do whatever it is He has called us to do. Agreed? We're free to worship Him anytime we want. He died for us to be able to do that. See, we're in a relationship with God, so we can worship Him. We're free to pray to God at any time. Anybody disagree with that? Right, we are. Now, regardless of what the law of a land, not this land, just a land, regardless of the law of any land says, we are free to talk to our God any time that we see fit. Amen? Problem is, we don't think we are. Ask teachers in our school system if they're free to pray with their students, and they'll tell you, no, we're not. Yeah, you are. Ask students if they're free to pray or express their relationship with God anytime they want to. They'll say, no, we're not. We are, but we think we're not. Well, I might lose my job. Well, you might. You might lose this. You might lose that. You might lose. But God says, think on things above. There's nothing that can happen to me on this earth that can take away any freedom that I have. That's what thinking about things above is all about, not things of the earth. Remember what Jimmy said just 15 minutes ago? We give it to God, man. He'll always provide something. Always provide. You know, you read that story and that he said, just, you know, if I scrape this and I scrape that and I scrape this and scrape, I can get just enough to make one. And that's the rest of her life. She was able to scrape the sides and get enough just to make. Every day she was able to make one more loaf of bread. God provided that. Think on things above. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8. Whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, pure, lovely, whatever is admirable, whatever is excellent, whatever is praiseworthy, think on these things, because that's the way that we'll act. And in Proverbs 23 and 7, the King James says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. But in a more user-friendly and accurate translation, it says that, you know, you got to read verse 6 to go along with verse 7 and then kind of follow it up with verse 8. And it says, look, you know, don't eat the food of a stingy person, because they're always thinking about the cost. And while you're eating, your heart, their heart's not with you. See, what they're saying is that the way that you think matters. It matters about what we do. So honoring, thinking about, remembering, well, it's drenched in our actions and what we do and what we think about. How we honor determines how we act. I want to talk about three things briefly, and they're on the back of your order of worship as you've been following along. Three things about how this passage, how Psalm 85 deals with and encourages us to act in such a way. The first thing that we do is we have a love for Jesus for what he has done. As we remember, as we memorialize and set up, crosses or whatever it is to remind us, what we have to understand is that our love for Jesus comes not because we're supposed to, not because of anything, not because we're told to, but because of what he's done. The reason that we respect those who have served in our military to protect us is for that very reason. We love them because they did something. You know, the Lord, it says, love and faithfulness meet together, righteousness and peace. Faithfulness springs. There's all of these actions, but it comes from the Lord has indeed given what is good. You showed favor to our land. You restored our fortunes. You forgave. You set aside. And then it goes on to say, the Lord, in verse 12, the Lord will indeed give what is good. My question this morning is that as we remember our Savior, has he indeed already given what is good? Do we love Jesus because we're supposed to? Because of what he has done. The second thing, not only do we love Jesus because of what he's done as we remember the sacrifice for us, but we are faithful. Be faithful to him because he deserves it. Verse 11 tells us faithfulness springs forth from the earth. Think about the idea of what springs forth from the earth. This time of year, mowing our grass every 15 minutes, you know, Howard gave me some very good advice not too long ago. He says, hey, whatever you do, don't fertilize your yard. I said, why? Because you will mow it every 15 minutes. Hey, I was over at his house. He said, we're out there at night. He was saying, you hear that? I'm like, what? You hear that? I'm like, no. He goes, oh, yeah, I do. He goes, what is that? I said, that's the grass growing. It is growing just that fast. You know, it's springing up from the earth. And you know why it springs up from the earth? Whatever it is that springs up from the earth, you know why it does that? Because all of the necessary components that are needed exist right there. You got any ground anywhere? Have you ever seen it where nothing will grow? Where nothing springs up from the earth. You know why? Because the necessary components for that to spring up aren't there. That ground doesn't deserve to have anything spring up from it because there's nothing in there for it to spring up from. But see, our faithfulness springs, it just comes from all that Christ has done for us, and the mere fact that he has laid so much groundwork and deserves for us to be faithful to him. Do you know why God says, you know, be faithful? You know why faithfulness is so important? Because God is all that deserves our faithfulness. Because he is all that has been faithful, therefore all that is deserving of our faithfulness. So not only love him for what he's done, but be faithful because he deserves it. And then finally, when faithfulness springs forth from the earth, righteousness looks down from heaven. The Lord will indeed give what is good in our land, will yield its harvest. And righteousness goes before him. Act like him because it's right. Not because because it's right. In verse 13, righteousness goes before him and prepares the way for his steps. And in 1 Corinthians 4 and 16, Paul says, look, imitate me. Do what I'm doing only as I'm following Christ. Imitate me as I imitate Christ. You know, act like if we want to honor. If we want to honor anyone, don't we recognize what they've done and love them for it? And then are faithful to all that is important, faithful to all that they have done, and then do what it is, follow in their footsteps. You know, I think about those that have gone before me. I think about those that I've had relationships with. You know, and I talk about my pawpaw a lot because he was larger than life figure for me. 8th grade education, farmed, and was a mechanic, and he was a transmission specialist. So if anybody, you know, if you know anything about cars, you know that you kind of got to have a little bit of sense to be able to take a transmission apart and fix it and put it back together. And in a time, and Paul grew up in a time in the middle of Alabama where racism was a plague. And when there were people in our country who couldn't get somebody to honestly work on their cars, they knew that you know, black, white, whatever, you could drive to his house and Red Smith would work on your car and he would fix it right for an honest price. And he was a guy who wasn't real good at, and he'd tell you, I'm not real good at gazintas, you know, 2 gazinta 4 2 times and 4 gazinta 8, you know, he wasn't real good at math. And so, you know, he'd tell somebody a price and then he'd work on their car and then he wouldn't make enough, you know, and he figured it up wrong and he'd end up losing money or whatever. But, you know, that's just how he was. And he was this kind of a chef where he had this old refrigerator that was a smoker and he would smoke all kinds of meats and food and people that he knew needed stuff. He'd cook them up some stuff and he'd take it over to them and he'd give it to them. And, you know, he was this guy that wasn't, you know, real book smart. Never really had a whole, I mean, he lived in a house that he and my great-grandfather built themselves. Worked out of a garage on jack stands. He didn't have a real, you know, a fancy lift or anything like that. But, you know, just had, you know, didn't have the best tool. But never really had a whole lot. But he was one of those guys that just, if you needed him, he was there. And he worked really hard, and he made me work really hard, and he let me know that there were expectations. And the last thing that he said to me in this world was, live the way that Jesus would have you live. And if all I ever do is just let those memories run through my mind, and I don't honor that man by living like he lived, I'm not remembering anything. See, this morning, as we think about all that it means to remember, all that Memorial Day means, it's not good enough just to think about it. It's good enough for us to honor with our actions, not only those who have given us freedom, but especially him who paid the ultimate price for our spiritual well-being. And it's time for us to love Jesus because all that he's done, and be faithful because above everything else, he is the only one who deserves our faithfulness, and act like he acted because it's the right thing to do. Because we ought to act that way. This morning, as we sing our song of invitation, I just invite you to remember. Invite you not only to remember the soldiers and the men and women who laid down their lives and who laid down part of their lives and went and secured our social and civic freedoms, but I invite you to remember. Remember a God who decided to create and who decided to be in a relationship with us. And when it all went bad, he decided to enact a plan that he had come up with just in case this happened. And he decided to live and to suffer and to die so that we could live. This morning, as we celebrate, as we remember, as we memorialize, can we remember Jesus? Can we honor him? Not just with our words, but with our very lives, as together we stand and as we sing.